B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Erevin Daf Samach Hei. We're going to start on the last line of Daf Samach Dalet Omud Beis. And we're going to continue learning about the wine and what it does to a person and the different ramifications. Says the Gemara, Omar of Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Sheshes said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Yochil ani liftoir es kol ha'ilam min hadin. I can present an argument, Rashi says, that would absolve all of Klal Yisrael from judgment. La'osid lova if Hashem, and when Hashem is going to judge Klal Yisrael, miyoyim shechorav beis hamigdosh vad achshov, of all the days from the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, when Klal Yisrael left Eretz Yisrael, they were in exile and didn't have very much peace and tranquility until now. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Lochein Shim'ino Zois. Therefore, listen now to this. Ania, the poor one. People in exile are generally considered poor. Ushchuros B'loi Miyoin. And the one who is drunk, but not from wine. And all the trials and tribulations of the exile are such that they were in such a whirlwind of in their minds that they could hardly be held responsible for their bad choices that they were taking. So Elazar ben Azariah says, I have this claim that when Hashem judges Klal Yisrael, then I will claim to Hashem that they are considered as poor and as drunk, even though it's not from wine. Asks the Gemara Meisvei, Shikur Mekhoi Mekach Umim Kori Menkar. A drunk person, the purchases he make are valid, the sales he does are valid. Over Avera Shesh Bamisa, if he committed an Avera which is punishable by death, Mamisin Oisa, we put him to death. We don't say that because he's drunk, he's not responsible and he's not held responsible for his choices and for the things he does. Malkois, if he did an Avera that's deserving of Malkois, of lashes, Malkin Oisa, they give him the Malkus. Klole Sheldova, the rule is, Harehu Kapikeach Rechol Dvorov, that he's considered a normal, sane person regarding everything he does. Elosha Potter Menat Tfilah, but he's Potter from Tfilah, he's not capable, he's not fit to stand in front of a king, so he cannot daven. But other than that, he's fully responsible for what he's doing. So how are we to understand what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, that he can exempt Klal Yisrael from judgment by saying that they are considered like drunk? A drunkard is not exempt. Answers the Gemara, Ma yichol ni lifter deka omar. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I could absolve all of Klal Yisrael from the judgment, he didn't mean for all their deeds, for all the averus of the Golus. It's Nami Midin Tfilah. He was only talking about davening. If we're going to be judged that we're not concentrating in davening the way we should, then he's going to say that we, on some level, because of the trials and tribulations of the exile of Golus, we could not concentrate and focus as well as we should or could on our Tfilah, and therefore we would be absolved and exempt from the judgment. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chanina. Lo yishonu elo sheloi higia l'shekrusoi sheloit. The braisa that we learnt before that holds a person, even a drunk one, responsible for his actions and deeds is only if he's not drunk to the level of loit. Loit's intoxication was such that even though his daughters, they lived with him and they did things that were highly inappropriate with him, and he was so drunk that he was not even aware of what was going on around him. So somebody who gets that intoxicated, like Loit was, potur mikulam, he's exempt of all obligations and all responsibilities. Continues the Gemara, Omar of Chanina, kol hamefik mogin, anyone who bypasses, who passes over tefillah, mefik, the Gemara is soon going to explain, means to bypass. And the word mogin is referring to tefillah. The first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei is mogin Avram. B'shas gavo, if the reason that he bypasses davening is because he's somewhat intoxicated and feels it's inappropriate for him to stand in front of the king that way, then soigrin v'chois min tzoris ba'adoi, then from Shemayim, they contain and seal any tzoris, any troubles, and they protect him from them. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, gavo, which is, according to how the Gemara is learning it here, means an intoxicated one, afike moginim, one who bypasses tefillah, sogur choysam tzar, trouble is contained and sealed for him, and he gets protected from shemaim. My mashma dahai apik lishnu da'avurehu. Where do you get this notion from? What's the source that the word apik means to bypass? Says the Gemara, d'chsiv, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, achai bogdu k'moi nochal. My brethren have betrayed me like a stream. Ka'afik necholim ya'avoiru. Like the movement of streams they've passed by. So you see that the word afik, the afik necholim, is the movement of the streams. It's like the water of the stream passing from one place to the next. So too in this pasuk, talking about the intoxicated, the word mapik means to bypass. That somebody who bypasses tefillah and doesn't daven because he's intoxicated, he's going to be deserving of this heavenly protection. Rabbi Yechanan Omar. Rabbi Yechanan says it a bit differently. Kol she'enoi mapik itmar. It doesn't say that somebody who is mapik, which means anyone who bypasses davening because he's intoxicated, will be protected. It means, it actually says anyone who is not mafik. And here, mafik doesn't mean to bypass. It means almost the opposite. It means to express. Somebody who does not express his tefillah because he's intoxicated, he gets this heavenly protection. My mashma dahai mapik lishna degluyahu. Where do you see, what's a source that you see that the word apik means to reveal? Dechsiv, there's another pasuk. Vayirou afike mayim. The channels of water became visible. Vigolu moistei sevil. And the foundations of the earth became revealed. So here you have a pasuk that says that vayirou afike mayim, the channels of water became visible. And then the pasuk straight away says, consequent to this, the afike mayim were v'yigolu, they became revealed. So you see from here that the word afike means to be revealed. So what the Gemara says is that anyone that refrains from revealing, from expressing tefillah, because he's intoxicated, is going to get this heavenly protection. Asks the Gemara, Mechta, since kroi mashma bein lemar or bein lemar, there's a pasuk both ways. There's a pasuk that says like Rav Chanina, and there's a pasuk that says like Rav Yechanon. There's one pasuk that says that apik means to bypass, and there's another pasuk that seems to say that apik means to express. Mai beinayu. So what practical difference is there whether you say that the heavenly protection is going to be there for somebody who bypasses tefillah, or if he prevents himself from expressing tefillah? It comes to the same. Says the Gemara, Ike beinayu de Rav Sheshes. The difference between them is whether we agree with what Rav Sheshes said. De Rav Sheshes mosar shintzei l'shomi. When Rav Sheshes was somewhat intoxicated, he would tell his shamash, he would tell his attendant to wake him up after a short while. When the time of tefillah arrives, wake him up to daven. So Mar Islei de Rav Sheshes, Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav Sheshes' ruling, because Rabbi Yochanan just says that anyone that doesn't express tefillah whilst he's intoxicated, once he slept a little bit, then it's okay. However, V'omar Leslie de Rav Sheshes, Rav Chanina, who says that there's actually a virtue in bypassing, in actively bypassing, not just I'm not expressing tefillah, I'm bypassing the tefillah, then that seems to tell us that you've got to wait until the entire influence of the alcohol has totally passed, and that's only when a person goes to sleep and wakes up on his own accord, not if he asks somebody to wake him up at some point, because then obviously the influence of the alcohol is not completely passed, and therefore he's not yet ready, according to Rav Chanina, he's not yet ready to stand in front of the king, and he should thereby continue to bypass the tefillah and not daven yet. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Chiya bar Ashi Omer Rav. Kol she'ein daitoim yusheves olov. Anyone whose mind is not clear that he can focus and concentrate on the tefillah, alias balil, he should not daven that way. Mishum shenemer, it says in the pasuk, batzar al yoyre. which there's some, it's stated someplace, and we don't have such a pasuk. There's no pasuk that says this, and there's a discussion here in Tosfos. Rashi already says there's no such pasuk. Maybe it comes from a type of a statement in Ben Sira's Sforim. Tosfos has other suggestions, but either way, it says someplace that Batzar, when in trouble, al yoyre, you should not give any legal decisions, you shouldn't rule any halachas, and similarly, one should not daven in such a situation. Rav Chanina, he was so influenced by his emotion, his emotional state, that on a day that he became angry, he felt that he could not concentrate on his davening. He wouldn't daven. Omar, he said, "Batzar al yireksiv." The same quote, that when a person is batzar, he's in trouble, it prevents him from being able to focus, and therefore al yirei should not make any legal decisions, and nor should he daven in that state. And it goes without saying, the poskim say that these halachas applied back in the day when people used to be very careful to concentrate and have full concentration on their tefillah, but nowadays that our concentration is somewhat compromised anyway, we are not allowed to follow these rulings, and we have to daven in any situation. Continues the Gemara, Mar Ukva b'yoimo deshusa, on a day of that the southern wind was blowing, lo yav nafik lebedina, he would not go and be a dayan on a court, because he would feel that a southern wind is somewhat unsettling, and therefore he wouldn't have a clear mind to give an accurate ruling. Omer of Nachon by Yitzchok, hilchasa, that when you're trying to render a legal decision, tzilus boya tzilusa, it requires the type of clarity b'yoyma d'istana, of a day that the northern wind is blowing. When the northern wind blows, then the temperature is fine and everything is very clear and bright, and that's the state that a person needs to be in to have a clear mind. Omar Abaya, I omro li aim, even if my mother, and we've seen many times Abaya didn't know his mother died in childbirth, but it was his stepmother or the woman that was looking after him when he was growing up, even if this aim, this mother would say to him, Koriv kutcha, can you just pass me some kutach, which is a type of dip, which means that she would just ask him a most basic request, it was enough, loy tenoy, he could not learn with the same concentration as he would otherwise, that request would disturb his concentration. Omarova, I kratston kino loy tenoy, if I was bitten by a lice, then I could not learn with the same concentration as I would otherwise. Marbudur Bredervina, Avdolei Ime, the mother of Mar Bereder Avina, would make for him shiva money, 7 sets of clothing, 1 to be worn each day, l'shiva yoyme, for 7 days, because if he would change his clothes every day, it would prevent the lice from being in his clothes, and even a single louse that bites a person could affect his concentration, and his mother wanted him to be able to have absolute concentration when he was learning. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda, Le'ibra Laila Elo Leshinsa. Night was created in order to sleep. And this is particularly talking about the very short summer nights, that there's very little time for learning there. The bulk of the summer nights are there to sleep. Omer of Shimon ben Lakish. Reb Shimon ben Lakish said, even though the nights are there for sleeping, lo ibra sihara elo legirsa, but the light of the moon was created specially in order to be able to learn even during the night. Omer leilu Reb Zeira, mechadadon shmaitach, people will tell Reb Zeira, your teachings are very sharp. Omer luhu, Reb Zeira would explain, the reason that my teachings are so sharp is the yomomeninu, because I study during the day. In the day it's bright, it's light, and the mind is clear, and therefore I could come out with such sharp Torah. Omer lebrate de Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda, the daughter of Rav Chisda said to Rav Chisda, leboya mar meinam purta, does the master, referring to Rav Chisda, not want to doze off a little bit? Omar leis, Rav Chisda answered to his daughter, Hashta, don't worry, soon, also yoyma de'arichi, there's going to come days that are very long for the purpose of sleeping, meaning in the grave. A person can sleep in the grave for a long time, and those days in the grave, uktini, they are very short regarding learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, because there's no time in the grave, there's no opportunities in the grave to do Torah and mitzvahs, v'neinam tuva, and that's when I will sleep very much. But for now, I want to utilize my time on this world to serve Hashem and not to sleep too much. Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchok, anan poya leiduyoyma, anon, those of us who are learning Torah, we are compared to daytime workers. Which means that if the people who are learning Torah want to be clear in their teachings, should learn during the day. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Yosef upora. Rav Acha bar Yaakov was used to having a fixed amount of Torah he would learn every day. And sometimes when he would realize that he didn't have the time to finish, he would borrow the time from the day to do what he had to do. V'upora, and he would repay it in the night. And later on, he would make up for lost time, and he would catch up what he missed. Continues the Gemara, Omer Abelazo, Habom in Aderech, if somebody has just come from traveling on a journey, Al Yispalil Shloisha Yomim, he should not daven for 3 days, because it takes 3 days for a person to relax from the exertion of the journey and be able to fully focus on the tefillah. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Ve'ekbetzim El Hanor, Habo El Ahavo. The Pasuk says that I gathered them to the river which comes to Ahavo, Achvo, V'nachne Shom Yomim Shleisho, and we rested there for 3 days, V'ovino Ba'om, and then I scrutinized the people, the nation, and Ezra was saying that after 3 days, the nation managed to calm down from their journeys, and then V'ovino, they merited understanding, Bino, they only then their minds came back to full concentration. Avod Shmuel ki osi ba urcha. When the father of Shmuel would come on a journey, lo imatzlit losa yema, he would not daven for 3 days. Shmuel himself, lo imatzli ba beisa de isbe shechra. Shmuel, he would not daven in a home, in a house where there's, or in a room where there was beer, because the very scent, the smell of the beer would intoxicate him. Most people become intoxicated when they drink alcohol, but he became intoxicated just from the smell of the beer. Rav Papa loy matzli bebeisa di isbe harasana. Rav Papa would be affected even when there was fish that was fried in the house, and therefore he would not daven in such a house. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chinana, kol hamispate beyenoi. Anybody who can be appeased, which means that if he drinks a bit of wine, he then manages to overlook any injustice that was done against him, yesh l'baymidas koinoi, then he possesses one of the attributes of Hashem. Shenemer, it says in the Pasuk, v'yorach Hashem es reach hanichoyach v'goymer, the Pasuk says that Hashem smelt the pleasant aroma of the korbonis that were offered by Noach, and then he became appeased and he promised Noach he was not going to destroy the world again. So you see from there that, so to speak, Hashem smelt the scent of the aroma of the korbonis, and as we saw before, it's possible to somewhat, so to speak, become intoxicated even from just a smell. And the fact that Hashem, when he smelt the aroma of the korbonis, he was then became appeased, so any person who can drink a little bit of wine and then be comfortable to let go of all the things that have been wronged against him, he has those attributes of Hashem. Omer Rebchia, kol amisyashiv b'yeinoi, anyone who even after drinking wine, his mind stays lucid and clear, is yesh boi das shivim zakenim. He's got the attributes, so he's got the mind, the das, of 70 judges. And it's to be assumed that the Gemara means that yayin itself has the numerical value of 70, which the Gemara is soon going to say, is about to say that. And therefore, being able to hold in wine has something to do with 70. So the Gemara says it's the das of the 70 sages, the 70 judges. Yayin niton b'shivam oisies. Yayin itself has the numerical value of 70. Yud is 10, there's 2 yuds, that's 20, nun is 50. V'soyid nitein b'shivam oisies. The numerical value of soyid is also 70. Nichnas yayin yetze soyid, because there's a connection between wine and soid, which means a secret. When a person takes in wine, then he loses his his inhibition that normally prevents him from revealing certain secrets, and the wine that he takes in causes him to let out the secrets. Omer Reb Chonin, lo nivro yayin elo nenachim avolim. Wine was created for one of two reasons. One, to comfort the bereaved, the people mourning. Uleshanim schor roshoim, in order that the wicked people who are not going to be deserving of a portion in the world to come, at least they should be rewarded for the few good things they did in this world. And therefore Hashem created wine to give them a good time. They should have hanah. And that way, as Rashi says, Sheshoisim usmeichim umekablim oilomom b'chayim, they drink, they're happy, and that's their reward. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chonin bar Papa, kol she'ein yayin nishbach b'seich b'seich kamayim. And the Taz explains in Hilchas Shabbos, Ner Chaim, Semen Reish Tzadik Vov, the Taz says that what this means is that anybody who, when wine spills in his house, he gets angry and annoyed because it's more expensive and he's angry that the wine spilt, and he would not be angry if water spilt. So anybody that when wine spills, he has a different reaction to if water spills, then Eine Bechlal Bracha is not in the category of being blessed. Somebody who knows how to control his anger and not get angry, even when wine spills, and he just sees it as if water is spilt, he's in the bracket of being blessed and having bracha. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, where do we find that one's supposed to view wine as if it's water, so to speak? Because it says in the Pasuk, Uveirach eslach mecha ve'es meimecha, that it says that Hashem is going to bless your bread and your water. What does that mean? That we compare bread to water. Ma lechem shenikach bekesev maisa. Just as bread is called a significant food item, which one is allowed to buy with the money of maisa sheni, that has to be used to buy food items in Yerushalayim. Af mayim, so too, shenikach bekesev maisa. The pasuk compares bread to water. In the same way as you're allowed to buy bread with the money of Maisa Sheni, so too you're allowed to buy water with Maisa Sheni. But that can't be true, because we already saw in Daf Chavov Amud Beis that Hakol Nikach Bekesef Maisa Chutz Min HaMayim VaMelech. You cannot use the money of Maisa Sheni to buy water, because it doesn't satisfy a person. So what does it mean? Umayinu, what type of water is compared to bread if it cannot be water itself? Yayin. It must be wine, v'kakori le'mayim. And the pasuk compares or calls wine by the term water in order to teach us that in nishbach beisei kamayim, if the wine, when it's spilt in the house, is considered like water, then ikka brocha, then there's going to be brocha, v'iloi loy. But if not, then he's not in that bracket of brocha. Omer b'iloi, b'shleish advarim adam nikar, a person, his nature, his character, can be perceived in one of three ways. Bekisoy, either how he responds to wine, can he hold in the wine? Ubekisoy, or with his wallet, which means how honest he is in business with his money. Ubekasoy, and with how easily he gets angered. V'omrilon, others say, af besachkoy, also with laughter, the way he laughs and the things he laughs about also reflect very much on the character of the person. Continues the Gemara. And we're now going back to the goy who's sharing a chotzer or a mavi with the Yisrael, that since one is not allowed to carry from a domain, from a residence that belongs to a single person into another Rishus HaYochid that belongs to a different person or other people, and unless one makes an Eruv. But if there's a goy there, then we saw in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek that according to Reb Meir, even if there's one goy living with one Yisrael, then the goy restricts the ability of the Yisrael to carry from his home to the Chatzah. And according to Belazar ben Yaakov, it's only if there's two Yisraelim with a goy, but if there's just one Yisrael with a goy, since it's very uncommon that a single Yisrael would risk living with a goy that often tends to be murderous, and since it's so uncommon, the Chachomim did not decree that the residents of this goy should be considered a resident, and they just left things according to the letter of the law, that goyim do not have a residence, they're just animals, compared to animals in a stable. However, when you have two Yisraelim with a goy, that's more common. The Chachomim did not want Yisrael to be close to goyim and learn from their bad behaviors. Therefore, they made it complicated to be with a goy, and they said that if you need to make an Eruv, the goy disturbs the Eruv. The only way that you can carry is if you can rent from the goy a portion in his chotzer, something that the goy will be reluctant to do, as we discussed previously, and therefore the Israel will be uncomfortable with the goy, they'll move away and not be influenced by the goy. That's what we saw till now in the previous sugyas. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Yisrael v'nochri b'pnimis v'yisrael b'chitzayno. What happens if you have two courtyards, one inside the other, which means the inner courtyard does not have an exit to the street? The only way that the people in the inner courtyard can get out is by walking through the outer courtyard. So if you had in the inner courtyard, in the inner chotzer, you had two people living there, one Yisrael and one goy. And in the outer courtyard, you had just one person, Yisrael b'chitzayna. Bo ma'ase lifnei Rebbe. So the question came to Rebbe, what's the situation here? And we're especially keeping it a little bit vague, since the Gemara is going to soon discuss this. But this incident was brought to Rebbe, and said, we have three people here, two Yisraelim, one goy, a goy and a Yisrael in the inside chotzer, their own chotzer, and a Yisrael in the outside chotzer. And Rebbe said, Osir. Rebbe said, it is Osir. That means there's somebody who can't carry from their homes to the chotzer. And the same case became before Reb Chiya, and he also said it was Osir. And we now have to understand, what does this mean? What is it talking about? So let's discuss the options. Let's just take the inner chotzer, inner and of itself. In that chotzer, you have one Yisrael and one goy living there. So that's going to be a machloikus. Reb Meir and Reb Elezer ben Yaakov in our Mishnah. According to Reb Meir in our Mishnah, one goy with one Yisrael, then the goy limits restricts the ability of the Yisrael to carry. So it could be that in this case, when it says osur, it means that the Yisrael and the goy, the goy in the inner chotzer prevents the Yisrael in the inner chotzer from carrying from his home to the chotzer, and vice versa. That's one option. The problem with that will be, then why did the Bichlal mention, why was any mention made of the fact that Yisrael, there was a single Yisrael in the outside chotzer? We're not discussing the outside chotzer at all. Then there's another discussion, the way we could view this, and that is, we could say that maybe this incident, these halachas, what Rav Chiya and Rebbe said, that it was Osa. It could be that Reb Chiya and Rebbe hold like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, which means that one Yisrael and one Goy is not a problem at all, because it's so rare for them to be living together like that. And therefore, the inner chotzer, there's no issue whatsoever. There's one Yisrael, one Goy, and the Yisrael can carry there. So when Rebbe and Reb Chiya said Osir, it could be that what it meant was that they are making an Issa on the outer chotzer. Since they can only get out by walking through the outer chotzer, it's as if the outer chotzer has three different people there taking part in it. There's the Yisrael who lives in the outer chotzer, in a home adjacent to the outer chotzer, and you have the Yisrael and the Goy from the inner chotzer that's also walking through. So we have a case of two Yisraelim and one Goy using that chotzer. And here we already have an issue. But we'll remember, we've already seen previously, there's a discussion, what happens when there's a Yisrael who is allowed to carry from his home to his inner chotzer? Would such a person that is matir b'mekoymoy, oyser shaloy b'mekoymoy, will the person who's in the inside chotzer And he's in the event that he's allowed to carry in the inside chotzer, can he possibly create a restriction to the people in the outer chotzer, or do we say no? Since in the inner chotzer he can carry from his home to the chotzer, there's no way in the world he can prevent anybody else from carrying in their chotzer. That was a machlekes chachomim and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was more machmir. Rabbi Akiva said that even though in your chotzer you can carry, since you're walking through a different chotzer, you can restrict that second chotzer from carrying, unless you make an eruv with them. If you make an eruv with them, then the Yisrael will not restrict the Yisrael. So over here, you've got the Yisrael and the Goy, the Yisrael and the Goy in the inner chotzer, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, they themselves, the Yisrael can carry there because it's one Yisrael with one Goy. If it's one Yisrael and one Goy, we said there's no issue according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Mishnah. So since that Yisrael in the inner chotzer can carry, then now that he's walking through the outside chotzer, according to the Chachomim, he will not asa the outer chotzer. So the Yisrael in the inner chotzer can carry, and the Yisrael in the outer chotzer can carry according to the Chachomim. However, according to Rabbi Akiva, he'll say that even though the Yisrael in the inner chotzer can carry in the inner chotzer, nonetheless he can make an issa to the outer chotzer. The question is that when Rebbe and Reb Chiya said osur, what did they mean? If they meant that the outer Yisrael is limiting the use of the outer chotzer because he's walking through it, and that's what the issa was, well then why at all did we mention the goy? Let's forget the goy. There's one Yisrael on the inside, one Yisrael on the outside. Same applies, it would be osur, because even though the inner person in the inner chotzer can carry there because he's the only one in that chotzer, he'll still prohibit and limit the use of the outer chotzer because he has to walk through it. Why is the goy mentioned at all? It could be that the reason the goy is mentioned is in the event that the two Yisraels made an Eruv together. In that case, even if the Yisrael in the inner chotzer is going to go through the outer chotzer, if they made an Eruv, it's all considered one. And then the only reason it will be also is because there's a Goy there. And two Yisrael with the Goy, there's a problem. It's only going to be mutter if you can rent from the Goy his portion. So those are all the different sides of looking, the different ways of looking at it. Let's see this all in the Gemara. It will be safe sailing. It will be straight sailing now. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rabbah Rav Yosef Bashili Pirkid Rav Sheshes. At the end of Rav Sheshes' Shir, Rabbah and Rav Yosef were sitting there with Rav Sheshes. The Yosef Rav Sheshes took Omar. Rav Sheshes said as follows, Kaman Omra Rav Lishmaiti. This that Rav said in the name of Rebbe and Rav Chiya, that in this case it's Osa. What does that mean? Kereb Meir. It meant that the Issa is that the inner chotzer. We said in the inner chotzer you've got Yisrael and the Goy living there. So in the inner chotzer, that's the Issa. Because according to Reb Meir in our Mishnah, one Yisrael with one Goy, the Goy prevents the Yisrael from carrying in the chotzer. Karkish Rabbi Reisha. Rabbi nodded his head in agreement with Rav Sheshes and says, yes, it seems that when Rebbe and Reb Chiya said Osa, that's what it meant. It meant that the Goy in the inner chotzer is Oyser, he prohibits the Yisrael in the inner chotzer from carrying in the inner chotzer like Reb Meir in our Mishnah. Omer Yosef. Rav Yosef commented, Trei Gavra Ravravaka Rabbonon, two great people like you, Rav Sheshes and Rabba. Liti Bahai Milsa, can it be that you're making a mistake in this matter? Iker Rav Meir, in the event that Rebbe and Rav Chiya, who said also, it's because they're following Rav Meir and they're only speaking about the inner chotzer, Lomali Yisrael Bechitzoino. Why, when Rav was talking about the case, did he even mention that there was a Yisrael in the outer chotzer? Is not relevant. Are you going to suggest that Rav was just telling us the story as it was? The case was that that was a single Yisrael in the outside chotzer. He says, no, it still cannot be like you, Rav Sheshes and Rabbah explained. Because we had another, don't forget this is Rav in the name of Rebbe and Reb Chiya, or in the name of Rebbe and Reb Chiya said the same, but Rav himself, He said another comment here. V'haboy m'nei mirav. They asked Rav, Pnimi b'mkoy m'imahu. The Yisrael in the inside chotzer. Regarding the inside chotzer, is he allowed to carry there or not? V'omalehem. And Rav told them, Mutter, he can carry there. That's clearly not like Reb Meir. Reb Meir says one Yisrael with one Goy, the Yisrael is not allowed to carry them. So if Rav himself said that the Yisrael in the inner chotzer can carry in the inner chotzer, then when Rav said in the name of Rebbe that it's Osur, he cannot have meant the inner chotzer, which is what Rav Sheshes and Rabba said. Ve'elomai, it must be that Rav is following and understanding Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. Like Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, that says one Yisrael with one Goy, there's no issue with carrying there at all. And that's why the Yisrael in the inner chotzer is allowed to carry there. If so, we have to understand that what's the Issa? When Rebbe said Oyser, what does he mean? So says the Gemara, Ve'elomai Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, Ha'omar, Ad sheyu shnei Yisraelim oisrim, ze el ze. Did Reb Elezer ben Yaakov not say that the only time that it's osa is if you've got two Yisraelim and a Goy, as we said before? One Yisrael with one Goy, it's muta. So the Gemara is now asking what we said before. What is, when Rebbe says oisr, there's no isa here. Who's usering on who? Says the Gemara, Elok Reb Akiva. It must be we're following Reb Akiva, that we're actually talking about the Issa to carry in the outside Chotzer. And it's only Reb Akiva who says that even though Yisroel is allowed to carry in the inside Chotzer, the fact that he's walking through the outside Chotzer causes a restriction to the outside Chotzer. The Omar Regel Hamuteres Bimkoimo, a person who is mutter b'mekoimo, which means the inner person who can carry in the inner chotzer, oiseres shalei b'mekoimo, has the power to restrict carrying in shalei b'mekoimo, in a different chotzer, not in his chotzer, but in the outer chotzer. If so, lo moli nochri. Why do I need to mention at all that there's a goy involved in the inside chotzer? Just say there's a Yisrael on the inside chotzer, a Yisrael in the outside chotzer. According to Reb Akiva, even though the Yisrael in the inside chotzer can carry in his own chotzer, the fact that he's walking through the outside chotzer is going to make an issa on the outside chotzer. Afilu Yisrael nami. Even if there's just the Yisrael in the inside chotzer, the halacha would be the same. It would be osur. We're following Reb Akiva. Omar Ravuna Bereid Rishua. So Ravuna Bereid Rishua explained as follows: Lo'ilom Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. The truth is, as we said before, that this case, this Rebbe, Rav, is following Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. Reb Elezer ben Yaakov says that one Yisrael with one Goy, there's no issue. And therefore, in the inner chotzer, as Rav himself said before, in the inner chotzer, the Yisrael can carry. Uka Reb Akiva, and we're following Reb Akiva, who says that the Yisrael in the inner chotzer, even though he can carry there, when he walks through the outside chotzer, he restricts the carrying in the outside chotzer. You're going to ask me, why do I need to mention the Goy? I'll tell you why. Because we're talking about Kagoyin She'iruvu. The two Yisraelim, they made an Eruv together. So that Yisrael in the inner Chotzer would not limit and restrict carrying in the outer Chotzer, because they made an Eruv. But now, once they've made an Eruv, it's two Yisraelim with one Goy. Two Yisraelim and one Goy. Also, here we have a problem. The Goy restricts the carrying of the chotzer of the two Yisraelim. The time of the ikanochri, the osir. The only reason it's osir is because there's a goy there. Avalekanochri, loy osir. But if there would be no goy there, because the two Yisraelim made an eruv together, there would be no restriction whatsoever. Continues the Gemara. Boy minei Reb Elezer mi Rav. Reb Elezer now asked Rav an interesting question. Yisrael v'nochri b'chitzayno v'yisrael b'pnimis mahu. What happens if you have an opposite case, where you have just a single Yisroel in the inside Chotzer, and a Yisroel with a Goy in the outside Chotzer? And now the Gemara is referring back to something we said before. We said before that the issue of a Goy is only when it's common for Yisroel to be in that companionship, to be living with a Goy. Then if it's common for Yisroel to live that way with a Goy, the Chachomim did not want Klal Yisrael to be near the Goyim. So they said, we're making the residence of the Goy restrict your ability to carry in your Chotzer, in your Mavui. However, in the event that the companionship between the Goy and the Yisrael, for example, according to Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, if you have just one Yisrael with one Goy, which is very uncommon because Goyim, they are prone to murder. And if it's a very uncommon case, then the Chachamim said, you don't need to worry. No normal Yisrael is going to live with a goy like that. And therefore, we can just keep the goy with his status of being compared to an animal in a stable. And he has no residence whatsoever and cannot restrict and will not restrict a Yisrael from carrying in a chotza. So now the Gemara is asking, Hasam, in the case we mentioned before, where in the inner chotza there was a Yisrael and a goy, and in the outside chotza there was a Yisrael, it could be mishum de shchiach de doyer. It could be, in that case, the reason that the goy makes it osur for the outside chotza, for anyone to carry in the outside chotza, is because it's normal for people to live like that. Even though there's a Yisrael and a goy inside, but and the Yisrael on the outside chotza, it's still okay. The Yisrael on the inside, it's common for him to want to live like that. Why? Demirtas nochri, because that goy would be afraid to murder the Yisrael of the inside chotza. V'savar hashta os Yisrael v'omrali, says, because if I do anything, if I kill the Yisrael on the inside, then the Yisrael on the outside is going to ask me, Yisrael de have a gaboch, the Yisrael who's living with you inside, in the inside chotza, heicha, where is he? And therefore, the goy will be afraid to kill the Yisrael, and therefore the Yisrael will not be afraid to live there, and therefore the goy could asa the chotza, the outside chotza. Aval hocha, but in the case here, where in the inside chotza you just have a Yisrael, and in the outside chotza you have a Yisrael with a goy, have hocha amina le nofak ozale, then the Yisrael living with the goy in the outside chotza, I would have thought that in that case, the goy would not be afraid to kill the Yisrael. Because if the Yisrael from the inside chotza asks the goy, where's the Yisrael from the outer chotza, he'll just say, nofak ozeleh, he left. In the opposite case, since the Yisrael and the goy are living in the inside chotza, the Yisrael couldn't leave without the Yisrael in the outside chotza noticing. But in this second case, where in the outside chotza you have Yisrael and the goy, the other Yisrael is on the inside chotza, the goy could easily do away with the Yisrael in the outside chotza, and if he's asked and questioned by the Yisrael in the inside chotza, he'll just say, yeah, he left. And therefore, in this outside chotza, it would be not common for a Yisrael to live with the goy, in which case the goy will not restrict the outside chotza from being able to carry there. And then, even though you have two Yisraelim and a goy going through this outside chotza, since it's not common for goy to live that way with Yisrael, and Yisrael to live with a goy like that, maybe there's no issue, there's no issa. That's one side of the question. Oy Dilma, the other side of the question is, hochanami mirtas, even in this case, the goy will be afraid to kill the Yisrael. Desova hashta os Yisrael v'chozeli. Maybe, whilst I'm harming the Yisrael from the inner chotza is going to be coming through and he's going to catch me. And therefore the goy is going to be afraid to hurt the Yisrael in the outer chotza. And therefore it's not so uncommon for the Yisrael to live that way in the outer chotza. If it's not uncommon, then the goy in the outer chotza would restrict the Yisrael in that chotza from carrying them. So that was the question that Rebbe Eliezer asked Rav. Omar Le, so Rav answered him, Ten lechochem v'yechkam oid. Give knowledge to a wise person and he'll get even wiser. And Rashi explains that what this means is we should understand that in the same way as in the first case, where you have a Yisrael and a goy in an inner chotza and a Yisrael in the outer chotza, we say that the goy makes an issa on the outer chotza, so too in the opposite case, where you have a Yisrael on the inner chotza and the Yisrael and the goy in the outer chotza, the goy will restrict the ability of anyone carrying in the outside chotza, and that's what should have been understood, and that's what the halach is. Continues the Gemara. Resh Lakish, the Talmidei de Reb Chanina, Resh Lakish and the disciples, the Talmidim of Reb Chanina, Iklu Lahu Punduk, they visited an inn, a hostel, whatever you want to call it, and they were there for Shabbos. In order for them to be able to carry in the entire area there, from their rooms to the rest of the inn, and to be able to carry there, they had to make an Eruv between them. between all the people, all the rooms there, they all had to make an Eruv. However, there was a guy there, one of the, let's call it in the, one of the batim, one of the homes in the chatza, one of the rooms there, actually belonged to a goy. V'loy have a seicher, v'have a masker. It belonged to a goy. However, that goy had rented it out to another goy. And that goy that actually had rented the flat wasn't even there at all. He'd gone away for Shabbos. And we know that a goy who owns a house in a chotza, and he's not there for Shabbos, and we discussed previously whether it's also true if he could come back for Shabbos, but either way, if he's not there for Shabbos, then his residence does not restrict our being able to carry in the chotzer. However, they were not sure that he wouldn't come back. That was their main fear. He may come back on Shabbos, and then they would not be allowed to carry there. So, what have you got left? You don't have the seicher, who the flat, the house, belongs to him now, but the person who's the true owner of it, the maskir, he's the landlord himself, who was also goy, he was there. The question is that this property does not belong to that landlord now because he had rented it to this seicher, to this tenant, and the tenant is not there now. What do we do if there's a goy in a chotzer and you want to be able to carry there? You have to rent from him part of his share or part of his share in the chotzer. The question is, can you rent from the landlord a part in the chotza, even though he's rented it entirely to the tenants? Has he left himself the rights to rent out any part of the chotza or not? So that was the question now. Omru, they said, Ma'u lemegar minei, can we lease the rights of the house or their part in the chotza from the landlord, even though he's rented it out to the tenants and the tenants are not there? Kol heichad eloi motzi mesalek lei, in the event that the landlord is not able to evict the tenant at all, that means he's got no rights on an absolute way to this property. He cannot send away the tenant until the lease is over. Loi tiboyeloch, then it's not a question, deloi agira, that you cannot release, you cannot lease or rent from the landlord any part of the property. It's not his at this point in time. Kiti boya, when are we asking? Heicha demotzi mesalikle, when the landlord could evict the tenant at any time from the property. So you see that even whilst the property is being leased to the tenant, he still has some control over it by virtue of the fact that he could terminate the lease at any time. In such a case, given the motzi mesalek agrino, since the landlord could evict the tenant, and therefore agrino, we will be able to lease from him some part in that property. And once we rent from him part of the property, he'll no longer restrict us from carrying. Or do we say no? It's true that he has the permission to terminate the lease, but he hasn't done so yet. And at this point, all the while that he has not terminated the lease, the tenant is the one who has ownership of the property, not the landlord, and therefore hiring from the landlord will not serve us in any way. And if the tenant comes back on Shabbos, we will not be able to carry that. That was the question. Omalenre Shlokish. So Shlokish said, Nisker, in the time being, let's for the time being take the lenient line, and we know that in Nalochas of Erevin we always take the lenient line because it's a drabonon. So let's, for the time being, lease from the landlord. When we reach our teachers, Shebedorim, in the south, then Nishalem will ask them for a definitive ruling, were we right, were we wrong. Also, Shailul Rav Office, when they came to Rav Office, they asked him, did we do correct by hiring from the landlord, even though the property belonged to the tenant at that point. Omar Lehenser, Office told Shlokish, Yofi Asisem Shesachartem, what you did, it was correct, that you rented the rights from the landlord, and even had the tenant come back, then the landlord had permission, since he had the control to terminate the lease at any time, he was able to rent to you part in the property, and therefore you were allowed to carry there on Shabbos. Emir Tashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.